like I'm family. I say that every time that I come. And talking about what Bob has been saying, you know, it is better together.
It is.
And I was just sitting there thinking, the Holy Spirit putting in my heart, that the relationship that we have together, it's not just that we had it or we have it, but we'll always have it. And I was feeling like until the day I go into the presence of the Lord, I'll have this relationship here.
That's right.
I think.
Absolutely.
I will, won't I? Because of what the Lord has done and the faithfulness that He has demonstrated toward us to help us keep believing and trusting Him. Amen? Living in His presence. I love that topic that Pastor Ralph, I believe, has chosen for your season right now, because there's a lot of truth in that that we need to understand. But it's so good when we really sense His presence. And I sense it again this morning. I'm so overwhelmed by His presence as we've come together in a spirit of faith and believing. Some of you may be saying to me, well, I don't feel that, but that's where we need to learn and understand by the Word of God that we live by faith and not by sight or feeling. We live by what we know, and He wants us to learn to live in the presence like that, because He's wanting to bring such an overwhelming, awesome move to the earth that He needs all of His people functioning even as Jesus did. And Jesus dwelt in the presence. Did He not? And even through the most difficult situations that you will never face, nobody will face what He faced. There's not a human that will come close to facing the effects of the sin of the world. I mean, just think of the magnitude of that. Just saying it brings the presence to me when I understand it. It's so great and overwhelming and powerful that He took the sin of the world. And everything of your life that's been wrong, He paid the price to make it right, if you believe it. The gospel is powerful, but it's presence. And I feel His presence. I love that. I love when I get together and, you know, we sing songs and we create the presence in the room. And I believe that's very much a part of what we need to do, because it gives us a chance to even really shout.
That's right, it does.
And go for it in some ways. Yep. But I really believe what the Lord is teaching is to always be in the presence.
Yep.
And you get there by faith. Now, this church has been taught this for years. The question is, have we gotten it? I think we're a little closer all the time. And something's about to explode, because God is always about something. Time is no issue to God. The efforts that you've gone through, the things that you've faced, the time involved in it is little to Him. Is it? He's the God of the everlasting. And He's touching us. And that's what's creating the glory of God all over the earth. So it's not just God working here at Jubilee or at our church in Toronto or somewhere else that we go. It's literally in the earth. And God is possessing His people, putting them in place all over society now, taking them out of the four walls and helping them to be that living presence everywhere they go. So the earth will really see the demonstration of the power of God. So this whole topic is amazing. Living in the presence. Great, great word that this morning, Ed, you know, about confessing and declaring and saying some things so that you constantly think the presence by the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're together in this, Brother Bob. And this is absolutely awesome. I just love it. Praise you, Jesus. You're even a little bit like me. I struggled with chemistry, too. Now, when I was in high school, I could give you a little confession. I did get all my sciences, and I wanted to make sure I got my sciences. I always did better, probably because of the calling in our lives in histories and English and literature and stuff, than I did in the sciences and the maths. Maybe that's somewhat the way they're made, but I did take it all and wanted to finish it, and I had done chemistry, and I just did not get chemistry. And so when it came to the last final exam, what I did was I didn't want to cheat, see, in any way whatsoever, but I didn't know anything. So these were the multiple choice exams, you know. So there were seven questions in the multiple choice, seven answers. And so I took my piece of paper and I drew a circle and I put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 around it. And I said, "Jesus, help me." And I took my pen and I spun my pen. And wherever it stopped, I put down that as the multiple choice answer. And we all know I wasn't cheating, of course, but Jesus did help me because I got 55 on that class. Can you imagine that? So we're pretty much alike. And it's so good to be with you. When Pastor Ralph told me that you were sharing about living in his presence, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, as he does so clearly all the time. I love the topic. And he began to really prod my heart in the area of wanting to bring to you this morning an understanding about the fact to live in his presence is to live in expectancy. That's what he looks for. He looks for a people who are expecting him to move again, to touch them again. It's so easy to be caught up into doubt and all of this, that the things that come around us, that we aren't any longer in a state of expectancy. I've lived in a lot of revivals in my life, and I've seen the power of God working at many times, and I've noticed that when the people are in expectancy, that is, they're filling the front seats first, and they run to the altars when calls are given, when they praise with their whole heart and their whole spirit and give everything that they have, that there's a tremendous expectancy that God is about to do something, but he doesn't always do necessarily just what we're thinking he's going to do. But it's so important to understand to live in his presence is to expect him to come. And not ever, ever, ever let ourselves get caught up in the concepts of the world, not understanding God in his greatness. The whole battle of the earth is between those who believe God and those that don't believe God. That's what's taking place. Now, we all know that God is going to win. And he's going to win through all of us. So it's important that we learn to live in this realm, to be expecting God in the miraculous. I always want to be expecting what he's about. And I'm believing for Jubilee here more than ever. And I'm expecting his presence. It's so important. We just made a move. Just because of some issues. We're living in a condo in downtown Toronto that had four levels. Lots of stairs. And just because of where we are in life, the knees kind of getting to us a little bit more than they used to, we felt that we needed to move, and yet we wanted to go somewhere and stay as close as we could to the city. And so we went through that, just have gone through that process of moving. We're renting a place up near Lake Simcoe, just north of the city, up in the snow belt. Was it ever nice to come down here this morning and see no snow? And so we're renting up there. So it really is beautiful. Maybe it is a time to really rest in the presence of the Lord for the future, just what he has for us, and to keep our hearts right, because not everything's working the way I expected it. Do you get me? It's just not all coming together the way I saw it. And the question is, do we always keep ourselves together in this? We thought when we had made this move that we would be able to get we're looking for a smaller bungalow and do it very inexpensively. We found out right now in the Toronto area that's pushing miles out of the city around the whole area, that it's the highest real estate value that's ever touched this country. And it's moving so quickly. If you had a home in the Toronto area just last fall,
Today it's worth $100,000 more than it was last fall. And we got caught in this kind of issue that literally is going everywhere. We went to put an offer in on one place. Every house that's sold now in the Toronto area goes into multiple offers. We looked at a place that had 82 offers on it. And I find it real hard to get caught up in this bidding stuff right now. So there's all kinds of issues. We hardly know what to do. Every place that is sold $100,000 to $200,000 over the asking. So, you know, like it's a total different moment that happened to us real quickly. And it's so easy to get caught up in the circumstances and the worry and the concern and all the stuff that goes with it. We really don't know what we're doing right now. But God has been teaching us, even as I'm sharing here this morning, to be the people that understand that we're expecting Him. He doesn't have a problem with this. And we are to live in the glory of that presence. So we're up there, and I'm just trying to really enjoy myself. Some of you that know me well, some of the Ten Brickey family here know me well. I'm a person that's always loved dogs. And I haven't had one for a while. The way we lived in the city was just too difficult in the condo, which was very, very difficult for us. And we travel a lot and so on. So I'm up here at this place and I'm thinking, hey, this would be a great time for me to get a little puppy, you know, and just train him. I'm just, you know, this is terrific. Some good things are running through my mind. So I got online there and I got up looking for one dog that breed that I particularly felt that I wanted, and I looked at a place somewhere, I think it was over in Guelph or somewhere, where there were some of the dogs that were available, and when I looked online, there was one female, and I wanted a female. And I noticed on this that they give the date of birth of the dog, and then secondly, they give the date that the dog is ready, right, to be taken, the date he's born and the date that he's ready to go. And when I looked for this little dog, by name, just one left, I nearly got Pastor Elaine convinced that I should do this. I didn't yet. I looked at it, said the date of the birth, and then the second line said, I'm ready now. I'm ready now. And I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to me and ask me if I was ready now for what he's about to do. Am I living in the realm of expectancy? And am I really ready for this? And am I convinced in my heart that God's got the whole thing in control? And he's about to manifest himself again in your life like he never has before. But he needs you not in a state of euphoria. It's good to get caught up in the presence of the Lord with all excitement and many meetings and revivals and everything. But what he's looking for most consistently is the consistency in your heart. That you're ready. And I heard the Spirit of God speaking to me like that. Through that little circumstance, I'm ready now. And God said, are you ready? I pray that before we leave here this morning, that we will be able to pray together to the place that not one of you will ever be caught in a state when you're a part of Jubilee, of never being ready for what he's about to do. Because the miraculous power of God is being revealed like never before. And he's doing it in an overcoming, victorious people who have learned the Word of God to be true. Hallelujah. And God is doing something so wonderfully in this. The other thing we saw, and we're up there on Lake Simcoe. Today was the biggest fishing tournament that they do in the province, probably in the country. Maybe one of the biggest fishing tournaments in all of North America, because they come from all over the United States. And they cover the lake. We looked on it there yesterday. We looked over the lake yesterday. My wife said to me, it's like a city out there. You should see all of the ice fishing huts and everybody's out there. With expectancy. Because the first prize to catch the biggest fish is $25,000. And today, it takes place on Sunday, of course. If it wasn't on Sunday, I'd be out there and I'd catch the biggest one. I said that yesterday. I just wish that it was on Saturday, man. Because it's so good to live in the realm of expectancy. This is the whole principle of faith. To be expectant. And that's what His presence is about. That's what He wants. He wants a people who expect Him, not necessarily what you want. You may get a lot of what you want and need, but it's not because you're believing in what you want. You're believing in who He is. And He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and Omega. The one that begins it is the one that will finish it. He's the one that's moving in our lives and causing us to rise up to know Him even like King David did. And in the greatest hours of temptation, and the things happened to Him that were absolutely beyond anything we can imagine, He still trusted in God. He gave us so many writings in the book, right through the book of Psalms, that shows us through the deepest hours of difficulty, He still learned to be expectant in God. And it's important for us to see this and to know it in our lives. Expectancy is different than expectation. Expectation, often we are expecting to get what we think. And it can bring disappointment, dismay, and discomfort to our lives. It can bring disillusionment. Because you all know, when I'm looking at you here this morning, many things that we've expected, we haven't seen it just exactly in the way that we thought. But God is still going to move. He just wants the people who believe Him and not what they think. Hallelujah. So we are learning to walk in this realm of expecting God to come. He's coming. Say it with me, everybody. He's coming in power and authority. He's moving. He's the mighty God. And He wants to do the miraculous when our lives are understanding that it comes from Him and His purpose is established in us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You can tell right now, I just sense His presence in believing and being expectant for miracles today. He's the miracle-working God. And no matter what I've seen or all the difficulties that we walk in or what we don't quite understand, He's still God through it all. Hallelujah. And He's about to do something very special. When all of this came to my mind, the thing that God really directed me in was John the Baptist in the Bible, who is probably one of the most expectant characters of the entire Scripture. And he was called with a specific task to prepare the way of the Lord. And so he had to stay in expectancy where all others didn't quite understand. And his life became a living testimony for us to see according to the Word of God, because Jesus Himself told us about this man and about how he lived and how he walked. I want you to see this morning that John the Baptist, although he was greater than the prophets according to Jesus, he was a man who walked in many things for the purposes of God, never, according to the Word, did a miracle. But he trusted in the miracle one to come. And all that he saw and he led in preparing the way, was to help the world understand that Jesus, the Messiah, the all-powerful one, the one who would defeat Satan and destroy the powers of hell and provide constant victory for us, was about to come on the scene. And all faith must be put in Him. So even at one point, you remember John the Baptist had to say, I decrease. Because He, Jesus, is going to increase. I sensed it in the music again this morning that you prepared here. This was amazing. The worship team always bringing the adoration to Jesus, always reminding us that Satan is defeated. and we're counting on God. I think we're going to sing that song again before we finish here. Because we are counting on God like we never have before. Amen? For His glory to manifest. And I believe God is going to do amazing things. John the Baptist was one who prepared the way of the Lord. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, and I'm going to read verses 7 through to 19. I'm calling this, just for clarity, on the message, Living in Expectancy. I'm really picking it up with the understanding of living in His presence, living in expectancy. Father, we ask You to help us as we read and study and look together at the Word of the Lord. I pray this morning that Your presence will be so thick that not one of us will ever forget this moment in this place today. God will be completely overcome with who You are. And understanding and knowing that You gave it all to us through Jesus and then the power of the Spirit. And there's no defeat in Him. He is the victorious one. May this truth absolutely overwhelm our spirits again today. And help us to be encouraged, O God, with all that You're saying to us. Come and touch us. May we say the things that You once said. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Let me read this to you. Matthew chapter 11, verses 7. I'm going to read through verse 19. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitude concerning John, What did you go out into the desert to see? Did you go out there to see a reed shaken in the wind? Verse 8, but what did you go out there to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. Verse 9, but what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Notice this, friends. Wow. Here it is. This is what it says. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Do you know what? That's us. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Boy, this is a powerful word. Right from the mouth of Jesus. And He made these things so clear. For it says in verse 13, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Notice this. It's really important for what I'm sharing this morning. All the prophets of the Old Testament through the years prophesied until John. But after John, something happened that changed forever. So the Old Testament prophets, they prophesied till the time of John. Then verse 14, and if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. Verse 15, now he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions. That's what the church has been like. Saying, we played the flute for you. And you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament. Verse 18 says this. For John came neither eating and drinking. And they said of him, he was a demon. Jesus, the Son of Man, came eating and drinking. And they said, look, a glutton and a winebibber. A friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by children. or wisdom is justified by its offspring or its results. What God is wanting us to understand today is that we are to be a people who live by His power in the results. And God is about to do it in a marvelous way if we just trust Him and walk in His Word and thank Him for the things that He has done and the things that He is going to do. The prophetic word was spoken about John in the Old Testament in Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 5, where the Scripture told us to prepare the way of the Lord. He was called to prepare the way of Jesus so that the glory of the Lord would cover the earth. We were singing songs about that this morning as we worshiped together. The glory coming, the glory being manifested. We are literally a people as we sing in preparation for what God is about to do. For the whole earth will see the glory of God. And John was called to prepare that way. For the Bible says all flesh would see it together. I really feel we're living in today when all flesh is going to witness the glory of God. Many ways that it's being manifested. But maybe even that technology is used today so that all the earth will see the glory of God. We're about to see God's glory in an amazing way. So the prophetic word that came about John was that he was to prepare the way for, number one, the glory of God, and that all flesh would see it. Another scripture that prophetically spoke of John the Baptist was in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, where he was again, it was spoken that he was to prepare the way, but to prepare the way for suddenlies to happen. When all of a sudden, suddenly, God would appear on the scene as he never did before, to give us the miraculous power that we've been believing for. And so he was preparing the way for suddenlies. Another scripture that was in the prophetic way that was written is in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Again, he was to prepare the way for the fathers to come to the children and the children to the fathers. So everything that we're believing in for today, he was preparing the way for this to be seen. John's task was to prepare the way, or to be in a spirit of expectancy. To always live in that realm of knowing God was going to move on the scene and do something beyond what we could imagine. And keep us strong. Turn with me over to John chapter 1, verse 23. John chapter 1, verse 23. Here John was speaking about himself, and look what he says here. He says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I think what's so important about this whole story, too, is for us to understand the prophets spoke about it, and Jesus himself, as we read already from Matthew's gospel, spoke about it. Now here John again speaks about it himself. He is the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Be expectant of his coming. Make sure that we're doing what we need to be doing. As the prophet Isaiah said, now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? Verse 26, John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, I want to bring to you, to help you with an understanding about this, of staying in an expectant spirit, three things that were in the message of John. John the Baptist brought these three truths to all of us. And it helps us understand how to stay in the realm of expectancy like he did. Number one, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. It's extremely important in everything that we do, church, that we keep Jesus at the forefront of everything. It's important that we keep him in our songs, in our singing, in our worship, in our speaking, in our proclamation, in everything that we do, there must be a beholding of Jesus, because Jesus is the answer. And so the number one message that John brought to the world was behold him. I really believe that today we're being brought back to the place where we're beholding Jesus like we never have before. Just loving him and seeing him for who he is. He's the Lamb of God, but not just the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's important to live in the realm of knowing that the price that was paid by the Lamb of God, the eternal sacrifice to save, was paid for the whole earth. And that's why Jesus wants us to keep a spirit that's open for the masses to come to the Lord. Some of the situation that I'm running to over in there in Toronto right now, we are looking at the north part of Toronto toward Thornhill, Richmond Hill. We thought we could maybe get as close as we can where we need to be. But the prices have risen so much because immigrants are buying all over the northern part of Toronto. And they're coming from all over the world. So I was asking one of the real estate agents why it's happening that they're coming into that area. And they said, well, they've just been coming as a choice place to live. But all the Canadian people that have been there for generations are moving out. Because they don't like to dwell with the immigrants. You see, something has to change. And God wants us to be a people who understand that he paid the price for the sin of the world. And so one thing that will keep you expectant of God's presence all the time is when we honor the fact that he wants to save the whosoever will. And we never let it get out of our thinking. Even right here in Dunnville. You have a great task to keep believing for what God is about to do. Amen. And as you connect with everybody, you believe with everyone. So number one is to keep focus about Jesus, the Lamb of God. That's his number one message, to prepare the way of the Lord. And John stayed in expectancy. Very important. Number two, his second message was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He called us to repent. And I believe it's so important that we who are working God's purposes in the church have the right focus about Jesus, but we always understand how to keep a repentant heart. Because if you don't deal with what you need to deal with for sin or whatever's in your life, you will be weakened in the area of expectancy. So it's important. Listen to me. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. As we believe for salvation on the day we were born again and he took all of our sin, he gave us a clean slate. So we all have learned to understand that there are times of weakness and failure and things that we need to ask him to forgive us for. You know what I say? Get it done, and get it done real quickly. Always have a spirit of repentance. And don't live in the guilt of what you failed in. Because there's not a person on earth that hasn't failed in something. Even though we have Jesus in our heart, we must keep an understanding of repentance. So number one, behold the Lamb of God always in our lives, who takes away the sin of the world. And number two, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom is coming, and it's manifesting inside of us. I just read a note that came to me online the other day. It was very personal, but all it said was, the kingdom is coming. And Paul, I want you to be aware that it's coming in you. And so the kingdom of God is coming. And so God is calling us to keep ourselves free and to repent all the time. Is that all right? Number three, the message that John the Baptist brought was the message of judgment. Understanding and knowing that God is a just God and everyone will appear before the judgment. But you know what I've learned to understand? That not all judgment is bad. Hallelujah, everybody. I would like, when I stand before him, that he judges me pure and perfect and right and delivered and faithful and strong and expected. I would like him to put over me a correct, positive, good judgment. Would you not? And that's what we need to understand about it. Because of Jesus, we can always, always make sure that the judgment upon us will be right. Because he took it for us. And all we have to do is believe. Hallelujah, everybody. But we must not forget the fact that God is a just God. Almost today with some of the freestyle message of grace is like God gives up who he is. God doesn't give up who he is. Every person will give an account before God. But I want it to be a good judgment, don't you? I pray that everybody in Jubilee here will have a good judgment. And that we understand the power of taking everything to Jesus. Being set free by his glorious power. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Well, anyway, what I wanted to say to you is that John the Baptist was an expectant person with the great task of staying in expectancy. The Bible actually teaches us that he was expectant while he was in his mother's womb. Do you remember that? Elizabeth bore John. And when Mary came into the room announcing that she was bearing the Son of God, the Bible tells us that John leaped with expectancy inside his mother's womb. Tell that to the abortionist. God help us. He was expectant. He lived in that realm. He was a child who was raised then in an expectant home. His parents were Elizabeth and Zachariah. Elizabeth was staying in the spirit of expectancy. Zacharias had a little problem for a while, remember? Do you remember? What did God have to do to him? Shut up his mouth. I think he's been teaching us to shut up our mouths from speaking the wrong things for quite a while. How many of you would admit with me that it's taken you a little while to learn this? So Zacharias had to learn to keep his mouth shut. He was smitten dumb for a while until he got the message that he must stay in expectancy. John, of course, was raised in their home in a spirit of expectancy then because the Spirit of God had so moved. And then as the boy grew, he was taken and placed into the wilderness where he really learned how to be expected. Wouldn't you be expected if you were in the wilderness told that you were to eat locusts and wild honey? Not just for a while, but he grew up in that state. Is God kept him in a spirit of expectancy and wonder about the fact that God was going to do anything. And he stayed in that tremendous state. He lived in it. He read about it. He studied about it. There's actually some teaching that he grew up with some of those that formed the scriptures that were found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And he lived in the realm of God, knowing that God was a God of the expectancy. Miracles were about. The impossible would be made possible. And John lived in the realm. He was that kind of person. Now, according to the scripture, and I personally believe that this was all put there with reason, on one occasion, maybe there were more, but one is recorded, right, where John got a doubting spirit. Just one. Let me read it to you just back quickly here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, just before we all began. Verse 1. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his disciples
He departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John heard in prison, now he was in prison, that's a big problem. And John heard while he was in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, asked them to ask Jesus, are you the coming one, or do we look for another?
I like how Jesus dealt with this. In verse 4, he answered and said to them, look, you go back and you tell John. John had to listen to this. He said, you go back and you tell John. Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. Tell him what you hear in your spirit, and secondly, tell him what you see. Look at verse 5. Everybody that's believing for a miracle, look, look. The blind see. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Now look at verse 6. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. I am totally convinced, even according to the scriptures, from that time on, John shut his mouth to negative thoughts or words. You see, the miracle power takes place through Jesus. And Jesus has demonstrated it to us. But he's the God that's about to demonstrate himself again to those who are expecting him to do it. It would have been disaster for the lame man at the gate in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John walked up. It would have been disaster for him to have low expectancy, because all he wanted for a moment was just a little piece of silver or something handed to him. But when the name of Jesus was mentioned, expectancy came into his heart and he leaped up and grabbed onto his miracle. It's important to believe and trust in what the Lord says. God is doing this in us very powerfully today. I probably said this story to you before because we've been here a few times, but it came to me so strongly just yesterday when I was thinking about this again. Pastor Elaine and myself had the opportunity of going to Surabaya, Indonesia, which is really a very difficult area of Indonesia where Christians are persecuted regularly. In fact, their lives are taken. Martyrdom goes on all the time in Surabaya, as Christians' lives are taken by the opposition that comes from the Muslim influence and things that have gone wrong. When we went to that area, we were going to a great church. They told us seated 25,000 people. Now, this is in one of the most difficult areas of the world. There's this amazing church. But they took us, we arrived at the airport, we went to the hotel, and from that point on, they said everything we did, we would have to go by guard, police guard. So when we drove the streets or made our way to wherever we were to do, we had to have policemen surrounding us, helping us. It was an unbelievable situation. But we learned a lot from it. We went on the way to the church to witness what God was doing, with policemen riding motorcycles all on the side, police cars going front and behind, taking us all to church and protecting us for fear that somehow, of course, we could be harmed. When we went to go into the church building, I walked up to it and I said, God, in this kind of a place, look at this. A massive building. And the place was totally filled by the time we got there. I said, what's going on here? He said, people arrive in expectancy a half an hour to an hour early. And the place is always ready for God. When you went to walk through the door, they took all of our bags and would check them for bombs. How'd you like to come to church like that? Every service, they would check us for bombs. Frisk us. And then check in everything. Everybody came to church like this. We went into the building and we were ushered to the front. You only could have a reserved seat because the place was completely packed.
And it's not just one service on Sunday. It was filled several times over and over again. I asked where the pastor was when he was there because so many other people were partaking in the service. You talk about agreement, everybody doing their part. The pastor, he was just standing in one corner with his hands up and he was praying. There was such a presence that was filling the place. And he stood there like that and he had the mic in his hand and you could hear him speaking in other tongues. That's all he did for the whole worship time. And the Spirit of God was moving. We sat down a half an hour before the service and we're talking to everybody, asking questions about everything. But all of a sudden, there would be a great shout that would go up in this one part of the auditorium. And everybody would stand on their feet and holler and scream and all be excited. And then all of a sudden, over in another part of the building, some people would shout and start to holler and jump and dance and go on and be all excited. And it happened in four or five places all around the building. I went to the man that was sitting by my side. I said, "What is that? You know, the church service hadn't even started." They said, "A miracle just took place there. The second one took place over there. Because the people are in such expectancy. And God is moving." It was awesome to witness the glory of God that was so simple in a people who chose to believe the Lord. Could this be God's hour for Jubilee like never before to rise up in the miraculous power of God? But the way we see it and do it is to be an expectant people. I feel my task here this morning that God sent me and he said again, "Paul, I want you to pray for that great church, this great place that he designed and brought this truth to, that you will receive a great, great surge of expectancy. And believe God for the supernatural." Amen? All things are possible with God. What I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to pray for anyone that needs prayer for anything. But I'm not going to pray for a particular thing. You know what you're believing God for. And God's going to do it. Maybe not exactly the way that you think he's going to do it. We're expecting him to do it, nevertheless. And we're going to pray in expectancy. I want you to be in expectancy. And anyone needs prayer, we'd like you to come. And we're going to pray and believe for you this morning for the power of God to manifest and God to do what he said he would do. Is that all right? Amen. While we do this, I'd like Alyssa to come again. And we're going to sing, "We're Counting on God." How many are ready to count on God this morning and trust him and have faith in him and let that spirit of expectancy grow in our hearts? I ask God again this morning just to renew it in my spirit more than ever before, to be expecting and believing him for the impossible. Amen. Let's stand together and we're going to sing.